the Apostle Paul sent to the churches of Galatia as my own personal letter. The reason being is at one time in my Christian experience, I'd been a Christian for, maybe 20 years. However, I was still persuaded that I needed to keep the works of the law. Now, why I was persuaded, I frankly don't know. And one of my adult Sunday school teachers, and this is not an excuse, was one who said, if you keep this law, then the Lord will bless you this way, etc., etc., etc. But anyway, it was a time where I prided myself in doing this work of the law and that work of the law, and so on, until I came to the place where there was a work of the law that I couldn't do. And that was a dilemma, because I thought, so what happened? Did I lose my salvation? Did I lose blessings and things like that? So at that point, I was 40 to 45. I really delved into Scripture. And the first place I looked was Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia. And in that, he defined clearly the difference between the two covenants that were given to the human race. One of them specifically was given to Israel that applied to the human race, and the other was the new covenant which we have in Christ Jesus that in a few minutes we'll be actually commemorating. That was an important time for me, and I thrashed with that for 3-4 years. So this portion of Scripture, the book entirety, and this portion of Scripture has always meant a really great deal to me. So today I'd like to share with you a few verses from Galatians chapter 4, specifically verse 21 through 31. As a preface, maybe all of you have read Lewis's book. Let's see, how does it go? The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And in that book, he used imaginary characters to portray Bible themes, Bible truth, that type of thing. This is much like what the apostle is going to do in the verses we're going to look at today, only he's not using fictional characters. He's using Old Testament truth. And with the truth, he's teaching a New Testament, New Covenant, spiritual, heavenly truth that as the twice born, we're part of that covenant. He symbolizes the New Covenant with Old Testament characters. What was the problem at Galatia, or the Galatian churches? I can read a few verses to kind of give you an idea of what was going on. Real quickly, it was when he established the churches in Galatia, teachers came in, teachers that knew the law, and they were persuading or teaching the new Christians to start performing the works of the law, saying their salvation was not complete unless they did this, 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 and this. Well, as we see, that followed the Apostle Paul through all of his life. And he always made mention of that. In Galatians, I'll read this verse. This is to the born-again believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ that lived 2,000 years ago. This is what he wrote to them. Now that you've come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days, whether they're feast days or worship days, and months and weeks and seasons and years, and then the last phrase, he really shook them up and he says, I fear for you that perhaps I've labored over you in vain. Because he was seeing those people flocking after things. They liked the Jewish holidays. They liked the Jewish feast days. That's what they were taught to do. Toward the end of his life, you can see it happened the whole time. He wrote to Timothy, and he said, he sent Timothy to the church at Ephesus with a charge, and he said, some men strained from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand what they're saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. Paul contrasts in the book of Galatians both covenants. He alternates between the fleshly earthly covenant and the heavenly eternal covenant. In this particular teaching in verses 21 through 31 of Galatians chapter 4, you'll hear him use four different examples. They are two women, two sons, two mountains, and two cities. And this will be his example of how he taught the New Covenant to those Christians that had been straying. So before we start in the lesson, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for these minutes we can spend together. And I pray that you'll reveal the wonderful thing you've done to us so that our minds will all be settled once and for all on the sufficiency that's in Christ, that in him are all things complete, that the works of the law were for the Old Testament people, and in the New Testament we have the Holy Spirit that wrote the law within us if we just listen to him. Thank you for this time. We pray that you'll direct our thoughts now. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 21 of chapter 4, tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? That was his statement. Now, he's talking to Christians here. You want to be under the law? He's literally talking to the born again. Now, these Christians came primarily from a Gentile background. But, as I'd mentioned before, teachers came in and taught them to do things of the law. Oh, what type of things? Well, I'd mentioned a few, certain days, certain feasts. Circumcision was a big thing that was taught. All that kind of stuff. So these people were falling into that, and so his letter was to correct them. Now, in teaching this, he refers to Old Testament historic truth. Now, we're going to go back to Genesis, and he mentions from Genesis. Now, those Galatian believers had been taught Genesis. He had enough time to teach them all of the Bible, so they had an understanding. He would have never used the book of Genesis had they not had an understanding, but he knew what they knew. Verse 22 of Galatians chapter 4, for it is written, Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman, one by the free woman. The son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, the son by the free woman through the promise. The question we have is, so what's the difference? The difference was God promised Sarah that she would have a child, a son. That was a promise by God. Well, time went on. Now, Sarah was beyond childbirth. Let me say that. She was a fairly old gal, and it's kind of like, this ain't going to happen. So, like all of us, her and Abraham decided to fix it. So what did they do? Sarah took her young bondwoman, Hagar, gave her to Abraham and said, we're going to help the Lord along and fix this for everything. And yeah, she had a son. His name was Ishmael. Okay? But that's not what God had promised. God had promised Sarah, she was going to have a son. So God's promise was not complete yet. Until all of a sudden, lo and behold, bang, she was with child, carried the child, gave birth to whom we know as Isaac. In this particular scripture, Abraham had two sons. The first one was Ishmael, born according to the flesh, the natural way, not according to God's promise. The second one was Isaac, who's the one God really promised. And that's the difference. One born according to the flesh, one born according to the promise. Now we get into the apostle using the, like C.S. Lewis, only long before C.S. Lewis, he said, this is allegorically speaking, or this contains an allegory. We've got this truth. Now he's saying, there is a message in this truth, and the message is what I want the folks to get. These women, the bondwoman, the free woman, Sarah being the free woman, and her slave Hagar, the bondwoman, are what? Two covenants. So he's saying the two covenants are these two women, and he's going to use the two women as an example of two covenants. He set the stage with a earthly historical fact. Now he's going into the spiritual, and folks, you know that's the hardest for us to understand because we're finite thinkers. We like to hang on to things and all of that. But then when we see God's work, it's kind of hard and we have to go over and over it again. He talks about the first covenant, first of all. This is, now Dan had read about this just previously. One proceeding from Mount Sinai, giving birth to children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now, why did he use that word slavery? Well, they were slaves to the law. The covenant given at Mount Sinai was a series of laws that Israel, and then, frankly, the entire human race has to follow. If they don't follow those laws, they're lost. And God gave that law. That was God's standard for the human race. That was God's standard for Israel. But they were slaves to what that law said. So he uses that term. Proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. The covenant of the law at Mount Sinai, and I'd mentioned Dan had just read this a few minutes ago, for you've not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, to darkness and a whirlwind. He's telling the Christians, you haven't come to that mountain. That was what the mountain looked like in Sinai when God gave the law to Moses. It was burning, and it was terrifying, and things like that. There's our example of one mountain. So we've got one woman so far, one son so far, one mountain so far. The children of the covenant of the law are as Hagar's child, bearing children who are to be slaves. I want to verify that with some scripture. Galatians 3:22 through 24 says, this is what the Word of God says, for the Scripture has shut up everyone under sin. Everyone. In other words, we're descendants of Adam, for by one man sin entered the world, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith that was later to be revealed. Later on in Galatians 5:1, for it was for freedom, we've contrasted the slavery to freedom, for it was freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Galatians 3, chapter 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law. Not just some of them, okay? James says, if you keep the whole law yet offend in one point, you're guilty of the entire law. In other words, they had to obey all things in the law. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, that's impossible. Right? It really is. Any of you that have tried to keep that law, it's impossible. Christ kept it perfectly. He was the perfect sacrifice. Well, so then that's futile. Why did God ever give the law? Well, it was his standard of excellence, and it was saying, well, you've come to the conclusion you can't keep it, now turn to Christ. That's why it says the law has become our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ that we might be justified by faith, the new covenant. We come to the conclusion we can't keep the law. And maybe that's why a lot of you were born again. You found out, I'm guilty before God by the law. You turn to Christ. That's the solution God gave. Moving on, it says, now this Hagar, the woman, the covenant, is Mount Sinai in Arabia, corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she's in slavery with her children. We're talking about Jerusalem, a city there. So we've got sun, woman, city, mountain. Mount Sinai in Arabia, well, Mount Sinai sitting in the peninsula, down there, we know it's not in Arabia, but during the time of the Apostle Paul, the Sinai Peninsula was called Arabia Petroia. Why was it called that? Because the only body used that peninsula were traders. They would go down through there. And their jurisdiction for trading routes and things like that went from the Euphrates in the north all the way down to the Red Sea. Their capital was Petra, and they liked that particular area, so the apostle knew at that time, which is the last 100 years of B.C. and the first 100 years of A.D., that's where these traders went through there, and he knew that's where that was called, and so it was called that particular thing, Mount Sinai in Arabia. Paul sums up the old covenant of the law. We've already mentioned the things. A bondwoman, he calls the law, a bondwoman, literally it was Hagar. Remember, he used that woman as an example. A mountain, Mount Sinai, that's where the law was given. A city, earthly Jerusalem. There were slaveries to the law. Now, he's not picking on earthly Jerusalem. He's saying that's an example of an earthly city. Now, why does he use these cities? As we move along, we're going to see he's shifting gears pretty quick. And the children of the covenant, or the children of the law, born according to the flesh. That's pretty important to remember, because the apostle in his writing, all of his epistles, he uses those terms, born according to the flesh, natural birth. But when we're born, all of us, at one time, we're under the law before we were saved. After we were saved, we shift gears and went into a new covenant. The new covenant's in Christ Jesus. When in Luke, and we're talking about this, Christ's words were, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. He's talking about a spiritual, eternal thing. So he's leaving the tangible, earthly, and he's going to a spiritual, eternal thing. The present Jerusalem, and I'm repeating again what Dan had read, but you have come to... Oh, the present Jerusalem. From Hebrews, he's shifting gears. Wait a minute, I got ahead of myself. Children of the law, born according to the flesh. I got chattering right there and kind of lost my place. Now we're going to go to verse 26. It talks about the Jerusalem above, and he's contrasting it with the earthly Jerusalem. It's kind of like, what? The Jerusalem above? What are you talking about? Well, Scripture says there's a place. I haven't seen it, but I'm part of it. It's a spiritual entity that's truth. Now, the apostle's not telling us a figment of imagination. He's letting us get a peek of a heavenly concept. And I think these are important. Sometimes we have to discipline ourselves to take a good long look at what the Scripture says about things. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it says, now since you have been raised up with Christ, what? Well, the Scripture says we've died with Christ to the elemental things of the world, and we've been raised up with Christ and seated in the heavenly places. And then it says, since you've been raised up with Christ, do what? Well, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. That's logical. It's not that easy, is it, folks? Do you ever stop and think, seek the things that are above? We look at earthly things. It's a reflex action. We default. But he's saying, look at things above. And now we're going to be doing that when we talk about a heavenly city. Set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth. He says, you've died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's what he told twice-born Christians, born again, that new creation. He's saying, this is what our minds need to do. Focus on the heavenly. That's eternal. Because he said, remember when Dan was reading, he said, once more I'm going to shake all things, both on the earth and in the heaven, and the only thing that's left is that which cannot be shaken. And the new covenant is something that cannot be shaken. That's where to be. Okay? Now we're going to look at the Jerusalem above, and Dan read about this. But you have come. He says, you haven't come to this earthly thing in fire and things like that, that old covenant. But you've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's where you've come. So he's using symbols to teach us a spiritual truth. Dan had already read that, so I won't go through that. But he's using a new city and contrasts it with the earthly Jerusalem. Paul sums up the new covenant in Christ, the heavenly covenant. Number one, the woman, a free woman. The two women were the two covenants. A free woman, Sarah. The mountain, Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's the city. The children of promise are the children of the new covenant. They're the born again according to the scripture. So the apostle's teaching these things to the Christians and to us. This is the thing, when I was having the difficulty doing the works of the law, this is what I latched onto. I thought, that's what the scripture says. That's where my confidence is. This is something that can't be shaken. I'm not part of that old. I'm part of the new covenant that's in Christ Jesus. The children of the two covenants, they're not the same. All of us at one time were children of the old covenant. We were under the law. Born-again Christians are not of the old covenant, and those of the old covenant are not born-again Christians. They're not the same. We'd say, well, everybody knows that. No, not everybody. Sometimes that's a very hard thing for people to come to, because I think one of the things is the works of the law, that's something we can really get into and feel religious, you know? It's kind of like, it doesn't work. And that was why he was correcting those Christians. We're going to go to another portion of Scripture in verse 27. I'm going to preface this, because this is almost like Never Never Land. But this is kind of the proof the Apostle Paul was trying to tell those Christians. This is who you are. 700 years before Christ, during the prophecy of Isaiah, in Isaiah 53, Isaiah prophesied concerning the suffering servant. We know that that was Christ. He picks right up on chapter 54 with the verse we're going to be looking at concerning the new covenant or the free woman. Remember, back there he says, these covenants are two women. A bondwoman, a free woman. Now he's going to talk about the free woman. We're going to have four lines here, starting with verse 27. Now understand, I'm what you call a waiting room father. I hear the younger generation says, oh, I was in there in the delivery room when my wife... I never experienced that. So that's just kind of like, what? You actually did that? Well, yeah. But back when I had kids, that wasn't done. Well, I didn't have the kids. Kathy did, of course, you know. So for my three kids, I was out in the waiting room. Oh, well, I was out in the waiting room for two of them. I was overseas for one of them. So I never experienced what I'm going to be talking about in the first two lines. So I'm just going to be working ahead. And trust me, I've talked to my wife about that. And she says, yeah, that's about the way it is. So four lines, verse 27. What's it say? Rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. What's that saying, though? Even though you're barren and are not going to bear, go ahead and rejoice. What? Now, understand, we're not talking about a real woman here. We're talking about a covenant. That's what Isaiah was prophesying. Rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. And then the next thing he talks about was break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. Now, I understand that at the point of birth, there's that whatever, shout or cry or the final whatever, and the child is brought into the world. And that's what this is talking about. The cry at the moment of birth, but it's by a woman that's not in travail. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. Did you notice it's a picture of a woman giving birth? But we're not talking about a real woman. Now, I believe at that point of what this is talking about is the point Christ rose from the dead. Because when he rose from the dead, our salvation was complete. The covenant was complete. He died. He was buried. He rose from the dead. It was done. That's the picture of the woman giving birth. But that's a covenant giving birth to a new group of people, children of the new covenant, of which you're born again. You are children of the new covenant. Praise the Lord, yes. And then the next two lines finish this off. Now remember, we're talking from Isaiah 54. And then it says, for more numerous are the children of the desolate. In other words, a woman, this woman alone, without a husband, bears more children than a woman that does have a husband, than the one who has a husband. So we're talking about a covenant, and it's a picture, and I'm repeating myself over and over again, a picture of a woman giving birth. We are the children of the new covenant, if we're born again. We were the children of the old covenant, prior to our salvation. In the old covenant, our mother was a slave woman. In the new covenant, our mother is a free woman. It's a symbol or a picture of a heavenly thing. Then it finishes up, and you, brethren, he's literally talking to the saints in Galatia, but he's also talking to us. He says, you, brethren, children of the new covenant, like Isaac. Remember, Isaac was the child of promise from Sarah. He said, like Isaac are children of promise. So we had the Old Covenant or the Old Testament picture of Sarah giving birth to a son because she was promised that. And the spiritual picture is the New Covenant giving birth to children of whom we are children of the New Covenant. Let's sum that up. Isaac was the son of the free woman. He was the result of God's promise to Abraham. The promise, number one, was also given to Christ. Well, how do we know that? Because that's what the scripture says. Now, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, plural, as referring to many, but rather to one. And to your seed, that is Christ. So the promise God gave to Abraham, he also gave to Christ. We're not children of Abraham, according to the flesh. We are of Christ. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. We've been raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Notice the spiritual picture here. Kind of makes me giddy when I talk about it, that type of thing. Born-again Christians are like Isaac, the results of God's promise to Christ. The born again are of Christ. Moving ahead, and we're finishing up this, we're going to be at verse 29. Paul again refers to the Old Testament. And here's the startling thing he's going to bring out. And this is a tough one. This was one I had to wrestle with. But I believe the Scripture, and I believe the Scripture is telling us something that's very important. But as at that time, now he's going back to Genesis, he who was born according to the flesh, we know who that was Ishmael, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. Now, so it is now also. Now, so far in this, we said we've had one born according to the flesh, we've had one born according to the promise. Did you notice he put according to the Spirit as synonymous with born according to the flesh? In other words, he used two different terms to describe the same thing. That's an important thing, because your salvation, if you're born again, you were reborn according to the Spirit. It was the Spirit's work in your life. God is Spirit. God is your Father. You're a spiritual entity, even though the outer shell is fleshly. Yeah, I can't. And that's the thing that gets us through this pathetic planet we live on. But we're a spiritual entity. The moment we were born again, we started living our eternal life. Even though we're here on earth, we serve out our time here on earth, but we're living in eternity already once we were born again. Okay, it was literally Ishmael persecuting Isaac. Okay? And then he says, so it is now also. Well, during the time of the Apostle Paul, Ishmael and Isaac were long gone, so he was talking about something else. What he was talking about was old covenant people persecuting new covenant people. He's not talking about nationalities here. And why do I say old covenant people? Because they didn't understand this new creation. They were still clinging to the law. So it is now also. And then it says, but what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. In Genesis, the actual Scripture says, therefore she said to Abraham, drive out the maid and her son. Drive out Hagar and Ishmael. For the son of this maid will not be an heir with my son Isaac. Those of the old covenant are not heirs with those of the new covenant. Two different people. Under the old covenant, they're lost for all eternity. If they don't accept Christ, there is no hope. That's what God, that's why God sent the Messiah, so that people would believe in Christ, the perfect sacrifice, and Christ's body, which we'll be looking at here in a moment, Christ's blood. We'll be celebrating those things in just a few minutes. What's the conclusion? So then, brethren, you're not children of a bond woman. You're not children of the law. You're not of the old covenant, but of the free woman, the new covenant that's in Christ Jesus. So we talk about the bottom line being, tell me, and we came in here, tell me who you want to be under the law, you who want to be under the law. As to the born-again Galatians, and we as born-again, in Christ we are children of the new covenant. That's spiritual, heavenly, and eternal. It's the place to be. That was the eternal purpose God carried out in Christ Jesus, because he loved us. That was his reason. But he also, the Holy Spirit also gave the Apostle Paul this information so that we could understand the difference between the two covenants, so that in a few minutes when we take the bread, which will be the body, symbol of the body of Christ, we can understand it was Christ's body that was given. So when we take the cup that is the blood of the new covenant, we'll know that in taking these things, we're new covenant people. We're not old covenant people. That's where we used to be. And I know I've gone over and over that again, but it was such a hard thing for me to learn. And I wanted to share with you today. Thank you once again for your kind attention. I'm going to pray, and then we'll have the fellows come forward, and we'll go right into communion. So let's go ahead and pray. Thank you, Father. for this word. You've given us so much information about who we are in Christ and where we came from. Thank you for this, Lord. Help us to meditate on this so that we won't be confused, so that we'll know who we are and why we're that because of Christ. Thank you that you have selected your Son. His body was given as a sacrifice for us all. And as we thank you for these elements that we'll be partaking of, this bread that symbolizes his body, and then, Father, his shed blood that washed away our sin, that we have become the righteousness of Christ in Christ. Thank you for that, so that you see us as perfect, and we know how imperfect we are. But thank you for those things that we have done. Thank you for these elements, and thank you for this time that we can partake of these elements. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Could the fellows come forward that'll be serving?